So today, looking at a new series, The End Game. Today is the state of the world. Can you say that with me? The state of the world. We're going to look at the end game over the next few weeks. We're going to look at the state of the economy, the state of the family, the state of the church. What's going to happen and what is happening today in the world that we live? And I'm not doom and gloom. Look, you want to be doom and gloom, just turn on the TV, okay? Is that true, yes or no? All right? That's why you need to know the Bible. You're going to go down with your head around down all the time. Hey, but if you're a believer in Jesus Christ, there's some good news and the bad news. All right? So that's what we're going to talk about, the end game. The last great world ruling empire on earth, say it with me, was the Roman Empire. And hang in here. Don't get all messed up yet. Here we go. Since its ultimate collapse in about 400 A.D. after Christ, many leaders have come on the scene trying to rule the world, but all have failed. We got a few pictures of some of these rascals. All of them up here. Different ones. Okay? They tried to rule the world, but they failed. There has not been a world ruling empire since about 400 A.D. Keep looking. But the day will come when a revived one world empire will exist and set the stage for the one whom the Bible calls, say it with me, the Antichrist. We talk about, is this person the Antichrist? That person the Antichrist? Who the Antichrist? I don't know who the Antichrist is, but I know one thing. There needs to be a one world government set up or in place for him to come and lead. Okay? Are we getting there? That's what we're talking about. Keep looking. Sounds spooky, don't it? Say, well, this is Halloween week. I should go ahead and get spooky like everybody else is getting. And so it sounds a little far out, doesn't it? Okay, you don't need to go to, I need to get you a Halloween costume to get scared and that night. Listen, or turn on a horror movie. There's a lot of scary things in the Bible. A lot of scary things. And some of you don't like me saying that. But if you're not a Christian, you ought to read, when you read the Bible, it ought to scare the snot out of you. Excuse me. Okay, you listening? But no matter what modern preachers say, there is a place called hell. I don't believe in the devil. Well, Jesus did. Talk to him. Do you see what I'm saying? You can't just wish something away. Pretty spooky stuff. Keep looking. Now let's go back in time. This is where I don't want you to go sleep on me, all right? About 600 years before Jesus Christ was born in Bethlehem. So we're going back in time. How many years? 600 years before Jesus was born with today's message to a prophecy. Let's look at it. Let's just see how accurately God has predicted the rise and fall of the kingdoms of this world. A prediction was made 600 years before Jesus Christ was even born on this planet. Let's look at it. The state of the world. It all starts with a dream. All right? Let's go. If you have your Bible, turn there. We'll be there. You can hang out with me today. I'm not going to be all over the place because this is a huge chapter. And I was going to leave some of it out, but you know what? We're going for it. Ready to jump in to the Bible. Here we go. Daniel chapter 2. You ought to read the Bible. Great stuff in here. I'm telling you, it's amazing. Let's go to Daniel 2. A few weeks ago, Daniel made it in one of our messages. Remember? Stand firm. Remember? Daniel. Captured. Wouldn't eat the king's meat. He was captured so that they could make him one of the wise men. Bring some of the smartest back from Jerusalem when they captured the folks there, and they brought him back to make him a wise man. Remember that as we're reading. In the second year of Nebuchadnezzar, Nebuchadnezzar did what? Say it with me. Dreamed dreams. Wherewith his spirit was troubled. What does that mean? He was scared to death. And his sleep broke from him. Keep looking. And the king commanded, call the magicians. Get the astrologers, the sorcerers, the Chaldeans, to show the king his dreams. So they all stood before the king. Y'all good so far? Say. So this is what's happening. And the king said unto them, I have dreamed a dream, and my spirit was troubled to know the dream. Then spake the Chaldeans to the king in Syriac, O king, live forever. Tell your servants a dream, and we will show you the what. Doesn't that sound normal? Say. You go ahead and tell us, Mr. King, what you done dream, and then we'll tell you what it means. The king answered, this thing really scared him, shook him up. You ever woke up from sleep, had a bad dream, you sort of shaking, a cold sweat, something like that? This is what happened. The king answered and said to the Chaldeans, "The thing is gone from me. If you will not make known unto me the dream with the interpretation, you're going to be cut into pieces and your houses are going to be made a dunghill." So let's get this straight. You dreamed a dream. I'm supposed to tell you the dream and the interpretation of the dream. You know what I wish? I'm going to be ugly. I wish a lot of Christians would hold people on Christian TV to the same standard. You listening to me? People say, "Oh, God told me this. Oh, God." I wish they'd start giving out names and addresses. I know that's ugly and this will be on TV and they're going to hate it. I understand that. But the point is, this king said, "Oh, no, I'm not going to give you my little dream here and you're going to tell me something you want to say. Uh-uh. You tell me the dream and you tell me the interpretation or you'll be cut in pieces." Keep looking. "But if you show the dream and the interpretation thereof, you're going to receive me gifts and rewards and great honor. Therefore, show me the dream and the interpretation." Keep looking. "They answered again and said, 'Let the king tell his servants the dream, and we will show the interpretation of it.' The king answered and said, 'I know of certainty that you would gain the time because you see the thing is gone from me.'" You just stolen. Are y'all cool all right so far? "But if you will not make known unto me the dream, there is but one decree for you have prepared lying and corrupt words to speak before me till the time be changed. Therefore, tell me the dream, and I shall know that you can show me the interpretation. If you tell me the dream, I believe I'll know what you'll say after that. Be right." Okay? "The Chaldeans answered before the king and said, 'There is not a man upon the earth that can show the king's matter. Can't do that. Therefore, there is no king, lord, nor ruler that asks such things as any magician or astrologer or Chaldean.'" You think if you could tell the future, you could tell the dream. Wouldn't you think? Say. You think if you can spout all this stuff that's going to happen, you'd be telling the names and the addresses. Excuse me. Think it through. Think it through. "It's a rare thing that the king requires. There is none other that can show it before the king except gods." I always put a God word out. That always seemed to help. "Whose dwelling is not with flesh. For this cause," say it with me, "the king was and very furious and commanded to destroy all the wise men of Babylon. Kill them all." Next slide. Enter Daniel the prophet. Because he was a wise man, right? Say, poor old Daniel been down in Jerusalem, been there, pulled up, plucked up, taken captive, he and Shadrach, Meshach, and all that, remember that? And now they're in here, they've been getting fed this stuff and all that and taught this stuff, and now they got the classification of a what? Wise man, something they never wanted. Now having that classification is going to get them what? Killed. Look at the story. A lot of scripture. And I thought about not doing this, but you know what? This is sort of like Sunday school time, but I hope you're learning. No reason why you shouldn't read the Bible. It's good stuff. "And the decree went forth that all the wise men," or that the wise men should be slain. And so they start looking and they sought Daniel and his fellows to be what? "Then Daniel answered with the counsel and wisdom to Arioch, the captain of the king's guard, which was gone forth to slay the wise men of Babylon." He went, "Wait, Mr. Boss Man, we got a question." He answered and said to Arioch, the king's captain, "Why are we being killed? Why are you so hasty to come in and not cut our head off?" Then Arioch made the thing known to Daniel. He told him what had happened. Say that with me. Would you? "I can do it." Would you say that again? Come on. "I can do it." I tell you what. Looked like Daniel's goose was cooked, didn't it? Say. He couldn't, he wasn't part of it, but he was, since he's a wise man, all of them are killed. And so he said, "I can do it." Isn't that like a verse in the Bible like that? Let's say, "I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me." Isn't that a good answer? Say. How many of us find ourselves in a hard time, rock against hard, back against the wall, on a rock, between a rock and a hard place, and we just want to bail? Won't you try this? "I can do it. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me." That's a better answer, isn't it? He didn't know what he was saying, really. But he knew God must have had him there for a reason. God had been protecting him for something. So he just went ahead and said, I can do it. Let's look. Daniel went in, desired of the king that he would give him time. Give me a little time. And that he would show the king the interpretation. So he said, I can do it. Just give me a little bit of time. Okay? So what happens? Daniel says what he should say. Say it with me. Boys, pray for me. That's what he said. Boys, pray for me. Man, I'm in a pickle here. Keep looking. Verse 17. We're not even skipping any verses. Just walking down. Then Daniel went to his house. He made the thing known to Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah, otherwise known as Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, that they would desire mercies of God. Pray for me concerning this secret, that Daniel and his fellows should not perish with the rest of the wise men of Babylon. Pray for us, guys. Pray for me. Let's pray that the God of heaven will help us. Give us the answer. Why not pray? Amen? Say. You ought to try it. Good stuff. God answered their prayer. Could you say that with me? God answered their prayer. There's no way. God can't answer no prayer, tell somebody some dream that some guy had. No way. We serve a great God. God can do all things. You need to think like that. And that's what I learned from this and I see in this. As you're going through this, these times that we live in, you need to know that we have a faithful God. God can do anything. He's a faithful God. Not to minimize some of the economic struggles that some of you are going through, but for crying out loud, I remember going over to Ukraine with my son, and many of them lived on $10 a week. And I remember watching Mitch. One night he was missing. I couldn't find him. It was at Ukraine. The lights were out. I don't know, y'all were there. Lights were out after the big deal, after the event that was over that night. Lights are out. And we couldn't find Mitchell. I'm with Jorge. We're in his house. Mitchell's not there. You might remember it. I don't know. He wasn't there. And we're way out in the country. Where's Mitch? Mitch, where are you? Couldn't find him. I was going to beat him to half to death if I found that kid. Isn't that how we are as parents? I love you, but I'm key. But anyway. And we looked, and then we had to get the camp people to start looking for Mitch. Where's Mitch? I'm trying to make a point. It wasn't a message, but listen. He was on the back porch, about 15 years old, 14 years old. He's on the back porch, and he's crying in the dark. And we had eaten dinner that night with some people, missionaries like these people. And what happened after the event, Mitchell sings and stuff, so they wanted a picture with him. And it just killed him. He says, who am I? I'm nothing. They want a picture of me. These are the heroes. And it just killed him. And he had $20. And he hid it at that dinner in this other couple's house so they could find it. And his heart broke. Listen, we have a faithful God. You hearing me? I know times get tough. But my friend, we live in America. Have y'all checked lately? Say. We are so blessed. Do you think you're blessed or do you think you're picked on? Say. We're blessed. Say it with me. We are blessed. Help me one more time. We are blessed. We got it, man. So good. Anyway, answered prayer. I got off track. Y'all shouldn't have been sitting there. Then was the secret revealed to Daniel in the night vision. And Daniel blessed the God of heaven. How many think you'd bless him for that? Say amen. Woo-hoo. I got the dream. Got it, man. Ooh, he blessed the God of heaven because God revealed the thing to him. And I put this up. I want you to see this. I want you to see it. Some words are going to pop up. Daniel praised the Lord. Daniel praised the Lord for answered prayer. How many times does God answer prayer in our life and we don't praise him? I want you to see what Daniel said. Look at it. I'm just going to read the scripture. Roger's going to do the work on the side. Daniel answered and said, blessed be the name of God forever and ever. For wisdom and might are his. Look at the praises. And he changes the times and the seasons. How many enjoyed the cool this morning? You know who did that? Tell me. God did it. He removes who? Kings. He sets up who? Kings. He gives wisdom unto the wise. He gives knowledge to them that know understanding. He reveals the deep and secret things. I love this one right here. He knows what's in the dark. You feeling in the dark sometimes? Say, my God knows what's in the dark. Isn't that good? Say, why have I got to be spooked? He knows what's in the dark. He can see. I love this. Light dwells with Him. I thank Thee, I praise Thee, O Thou God of my fathers, who has given me wisdom and might and has made known unto me now what we desired of Thee, for Thou hast now made known unto us the King's matter. Can we say those real quick on the side? Come on, let's do it together. Blessed be the name of God. Wisdom and might are His. He changes times and seasons. He removes and sets up kings. He gives wisdom and knowledge. He reveals deep secrets. He knows what's in the dark. Light dwells with Him. You answered our prayers. Isn't that good stuff? Yeah! That's good stuff! That's great verses. You ought to do that with it. Amen? Claim it. Make it your own. Let's keep going. Let's roll, baby. He was ready, wasn't he? He was ready. He got his answer to prayer. He didn't have a whole lot of time. Let's roll, baby. He had the thing from God. Let's keep looking at the story. This is all before what we want to talk about. Therefore, Daniel went in to Arioch, whom the king had ordained to destroy the wise men of Babylon. He went and said thus unto him, don't destroy the wise men. Bring me in before the king. I will show the king the interpretation. Stay the execution. Then Arioch brought in Daniel before the king in haste. He thus said unto him, I have found a man of the captives of Judah that will make known unto the king the interpretation. Do y'all want to quit or go ahead and find out what it was? Let's go ahead and find out what it was. Come on. The king answered and said to Daniel, whose name was Belteshazzar, art thou able to make known unto me the dream which I have seen and the interpretation thereof? Boy, you need to see this. Can you say that with me? God gets... Come on, one more time. God gets the... You know what? Before he even started talking, he wanted to lay it out. It ain't about me, Mr. King. My God's a great God. Amen? Let's look and see what happens. Daniel answered in the presence of the king and said, the secret which the king hath demanded cannot the wise men, the astrologers, the magicians, the soothsayers show? So he's having a little fun. Can't they tell it? Pretty good, ain't it? You got to have a little fun in church as a Christian. Here we go, verse 28. I love this line. Say it with me. But there is a God in heaven. Ooh, I love that. But there's a God in heaven that reveals secrets. He makes known to the king Nebuchadnezzar what shall be and the what. Very important you see that. Thy dream and the visions of thy head upon thy bed are these. And for thee, O king, thy thoughts came into thy mind upon thy bed. What should come to pass hereafter in the future? He that reveals secrets makes them known to thee what shall come to pass. Did you know your Bible is full of prophecies about the future? Your Bible's full of prophecies that told about Jesus Christ being born in a little obscure place called Bethlehem. You have an awesome God and a great Bible. Why do we avoid reading that? We're crazy. This is awesome stuff. Verse 30. But as for me, Mr. King, this secret is not revealed to me for any wisdom that I have, more than anybody else living. But for their sakes that shall make known the interpretation to the king, and that thou mightest know the thoughts of your heart. It's not about me. I'm not this smart guy you've heard about. I have a great God. Did y'all get that? Say. There is a God in heaven. Ooh, I love that. This ain't about me. This is all about God and His plan for the future, especially the what? Latter days. So now, Rod, you ready? Let's go. Here we go. How many have read this passage of Scripture and know it pretty well? How many of you don't really know this passage of Scripture at all? Be honest. Come on, we're trying to learn today. Okay? There we go. Let's keep looking. So here comes the dream. Here comes the dream. Keep your eyeball on that rascal to the right. You know what I'm saying? Watch that guy right there. Thou, O king, here's the dream. He's going to tell him what he dreamed. Here he goes. Thou, O king, you saw a great image. This great image, whose brightness was excellent, stood before you. and the form thereof was terrible. This image's head was of fine gold. His breast and arms were of silver. His belly and thighs were brass or bronze. His legs of iron. His feet part of iron and part of clay. Thou sawest till that a stone was cut out without hands, which came and smote the image upon his feet that were of iron and clay, and brake them to what? Pieces. Then was the iron and clay and the brass, the silver and the gold broken to pieces together, and became like the chaff of the summer threshing floors, and the wind carried it away, that no place was found for them. And the stone that smote the image became what? A great mountain, and filled the whole earth. Wow. How many are just like Clark, you've lost your mind? Some of you feel that way. There you go. Thank you. Thank you. Okay? That's the dream. He said he could give him the interpretation. What does it mean? What does it have to do with us and our world? The state of the world. A great huge image, it had five distinct parts. Okay? A head of gold. Breast and arms of what? Help me now. A belly and thighs of what? Bronze. Legs of iron. And feet mixed with what? Iron and clay. Okay? Hope I haven't lost you. That's what he dreamed. Okay? And also something that you really need to know. This prophecy is all about kingdoms. Can you say that with me? This prophecy, this dream, is all about kingdoms. You need to know that. When you read this passage carefully, you'll see the word kingdom, king's kingdom, mentioned at least 10 times. This future thing has to do with kings and kingdoms. The word kingdom is just a word that means king, dominion, king's dominion, kingdom, a king's dominion. Got it? Kingdom. So this prophecy is about kingdoms that are going to come in the future. And we saw that in verse 21. He changes the times and the seasons. And it's very important for us in America to know this. Say that with the next part with me. He removes kings and he sets up kings. As much as we'd like to think we're in charge, we're not. You ought to vote. You ought to vote as a Christian would vote, according to the Word of God. You need to find out what that is. You didn't nail it. But you know what? Let me tell you something. You can do that all day, but I'm telling you something. There is a God in heaven. You're hearing me today. Say, there is a God in heaven. Okay? And that God in heaven don't always do things just like you want it. He might. He might not. Okay? I know that's getting off track a little bit, but that's good. Okay? So, this is all about kingdoms, this prophecy. Now, here's the interpretation of this dream, which was a prophecy. Okay, here's the interpretation. What is this all about, Clark? I know y'all must think, oh my gosh, what are we up to today? Fellowship. Okay, here we go. Pop it up. What was that thing you had up there before? I missed it. Here's the interpretation. Good, thank you. Here's the interpretation of the dream. The kingdom of gold. This prophecy is all about what? Say it with me. Kingdoms. One more time. This prophecy is all about kingdoms. You've got to know that. Hey, I'm lost with you. We're really going to be lost if we don't get that nailed. It's all about kingdoms. Five distinct parts. Is that correct? Yes or no? Okay, here we go. Part number one, the head of what? Gold. So it's the kingdom of gold. But thou, O king, are a king of kings. He's talking to Nebuchadnezzar. For the God of heaven hath given you a kingdom. There's our word. Power and strength and glory. And wheresoever the children of men dwell, Mr. King, the beast of the field, the fowls of heaven, hath he given into your hand, and has made you ruler over them all. Say it with me. Thou art the head of gold. So kingdom number one, the head of gold, was Babylon. Okay? Was Babylon, which is today modern Iraq. But that kingdom covered immense territory. So the first kingdom was, the kingdom of gold was who? Babylon. And listen, this is in the Bible, but this prophecy, because that was the first one mentioned. But the next ones we're going to see, he prophesies, these things had really not happened yet. And you're going to see he prophesies down throughout history. So we have to go to the history books to figure out a prophecy. Does that make any sense to you? So let's look at it. The next one was the kingdom of silver. Remember? Silver. And after these shall arise another kingdom. What's that word? Inferior to you. So what was the kingdom after Babylon? What was that kingdom that came after Babylon? Here it is. Persia, which is modern day Iran. Isn't it funny? Don't you find it at least interesting that out of this whole big planet we got, the same players are being talked about on the stage today that was talked about way back when? Does that not at least boggle your mind? Okay? So the next kingdom that came along was Persia. How do I know that? Well, the Bible tells me a little bit about it, but my history books tell me about it. Persia, Media Persia. And this happened, we read about it a few weeks ago, we weren't even talking about this, but a guy, a grandson of Nebuchadnezzar, was having a feast, a drunken party, remember? And he said, a finger on the wall, many men tickle you farce, and your kingdom's, you know, divided. Remember that? Okay? And that very night, the Medes and the Persians came in and took over Babylon. That's history. Matter of fact, let's hear from a historian. The Greek historian Herodotus tells us that the Babylonian armies moved north at first to challenge the advancing Persian troops, but were soon driven back behind the walls of Babylon. Cyrus then proceeded to divert the Euphrates River from its northern, from its normal bed, its normal riverbed. So this river was diverted under the walls of the city, channeling the waters to a nearby reservoir he had dug. He diverts the water running into Babylon. The riverbed is down, and the army marches right in. Watch it. And they defeat the Babylonians. They get in. Another Greek historian, Xenophon, states that entrance was made into the city at a time when the Babylonians were feasting at a what? Just like your Bible says. But this is a historian, not a Bible writer. You can believe your Bible. So the first, boom, Babylon. The next kingdom that will come would be Persia. The prophet Isaiah predicted the fall of Babylon over 200 years before it happened. Read it sometime. Isaiah 21, 1 through 10. Check it out. Go read it. That's the kind of God we serve. We serve a great God. I know this, is this heavy? This heavy stuff, ain't it? That's heavy. I'm feeling heavy. I was already heavy enough. Here we go. The third one, third kingdom, the kingdom of what? Bronze or brass. Big area down here. And another third kingdom of brass, which shall bear rule over all the earth. What is that third kingdom? What was the third kingdom that came along after the Media-Persian Empire? Some of you historians should know this. Greece. Can we remember, without popping it up, who was the great Greek leader? His name was blank the Great. Alexander the Great. He came along. Even though they were around for a while, they really ruled for about 15 strong years. Alexander, this is according to history, he traveled faster and conquered more land than any other man in all of recorded history. Okay? But after his untimely death at the young age of 32, his kingdom fell to four generals, so it didn't retain its strength. So what happened there? So we're looking at this image. It's a dream. It's a dream about the future, future kingdoms. The kingdom of iron. Boom! Let's look at this one. The fourth kingdom shall be strong as iron. Stronger than these others. For as much as iron breaks in pieces and subdues all things, and as iron that breaks all these, shall it break in pieces and bruise. So a strong kingdom will come. Somebody tell me. The Roman Empire. We still use words today that came about at that time. The iron fist of Rome. The iron hand of Rome. The iron heel of Rome. We still use phrases like that. Iron fist, iron hand, iron heel. Came about from this time. Iron. This period of time. From 323, 300 years before Jesus, all the way to about 400 years after Christ. And there were still remnants of it until 1400s. The Roman Empire. The last one, the kingdom of iron and clay. So what are the four kingdoms? I feel like I'm losing you, but I'm doing my dead level best to keep you. Here we go. Gold, Babylon. Silver, Media Persia. Bronze, Greece. Iron, Roman Empire, which was in charge when Jesus Christ came. They crucified people, put a sign up, said, this is what you did. As you walk by and look at the sign, don't do that. Okay? That's what it was all about. Hard. The last one is the kingdom of iron and clay. It's very interesting. You need to know this. More is written about this last kingdom than all the others combined. So it's really important that you pay attention, and we're going to try to finish. We're going to be a little longer, but this is a big message. We're going to try to get her done. Yeah, so y'all need to like work on your rear end. Here we go. And whereas, here we go. Whereas thou sawest the feet and the toes. So we got the whole critter so far. We're just down to the feet and the toes. We're making it. Come on. And whereas you saw feet and toes, Mr. King, part of it was potter's clay and part was iron mixed together. The kingdom shall be divided, but there shall be in it of the strength of the iron. For as much as thou sawest the iron mixed with miry clay. Hang in here. As the toes of the feet were part of iron and part of clay, so the kingdom shall be partly strong and partly what? Weak. Partly strong, partly broken. It's not going to be as strong as the Roman Empire in its strength. And whereas thou sawest iron mixed with miry clay, they shall mingle themselves with the seed of men. It shall be a mingled population. But they shall not cleave one to another, as iron does not when it's mixed with clay. What is all that about? I know I got you just going, what in the heck? The state of the world. The last one, and this is where we're going to finish today. It's going to take us a little while to give what I'm going to give right now. But I think it'll be interesting to you. It might even help you with your nightly news. The rebirth of the Roman Empire. Can you say that with me? The rebirth of the Roman Empire. And now, don't get me wrong. What I'm about to say isn't a bad thing. I'm not saying what's happening is a bad thing. The rebirth of the Roman Empire isn't necessarily a bad thing. This is just what God said was going to happen. He said 600 years before to a wicked king in a dream what was going to happen with the kingdoms of the world. And this is just one prophecy of many that we could have pulled up today from the Bible. Here's 15 facts, and I'm not going to preach them, I'm going to read them. The rebirth of the Roman Empire. You need to know that from about the end of 400 AD to current time, there has not been a world ruling kingdom or empire. Is the United States a strong kingdom? Empire? Say. It's not a kingdom. We're United States, but we're not a kingdom, are we? Do we rule the world? We might think we do. We don't. We have a hard time just taking soldiers and putting them in Iraq and winning there. That's tough, isn't it? Say. Or to go to Afghanistan. That's tough. These aren't easy things. We are not a kingdom. There have been others that tried to have kingdoms like Hitler and Stalin. Did they ever do it totally? Yes or no? No. It's not been done. It will happen. It will happen again according to this prophecy. Let's look at the 15 facts. The European Union or the European United States or the revived Roman Empire. It began as early as 1930 when the French statesman Aristide Briand attempted to enlist 26 nations in what he called the United States of Europe and later modified it to the European Union. Has anybody ever heard of the European Union? Yes or no? Well, look at that. Way back in 1930. The nations of Europe today must unite in order to live and to prosper, he said. We must unite. Being united is not a bad thing. Number two, we're reading. The time clock's moving forward. Thank God we're at least in the 1900s. Amen? Here we go. In 1946, following the devastation of Europe during the Second World War, Winston Churchill forcefully asserted that the tragedy of Europe could only be solved if the issues of ancient nationalism and sovereignty could give way to a sense of European national grouping. Keep looking. He said the path to European peace and prosperity on the world stage was clear. We must build a what? A United States of Europe. This isn't the way I normally preach, so if you're running out of here, hang on. Number three, in 1948, the Benelux Conference held at Brussels, Belgium, would lay the foundation of a new organization to unite European countries and economically and politically to secure a lasting peace. Only three tiny nations attended the meeting. Say them with me. The Netherlands, Luxembourg, and Belgium. What can those three little rascals do? Nothing. That's crazy. What are y'all up to? Number four. Another step was taken in 1951 when these three nations signed the Treaty of Paris with three additional nations. Hello, Germany, France, and who? Whoa! Forming a common market for coal and steel and an environment of peace and equality. It's not a bad thing to be trading, working with other nations. March 25th, 57 saw a major step toward European unification when the Treaty of Rome was signed. Interesting. on Capitol Hill, one of the seven famous hills of Rome. On this occasion, Italy, France, and Germany joined the Netherlands, Luxembourg, Belgium, creating the economic community called the what? You ever heard of the common market? You will hear it now. This stuff's coming more on our news because we're in a financial mess. You're going to be hearing more about world economies. Number six, in 73, the United Kingdom, Ireland, Denmark joined the EEC, and Greece was added in 81, making it a what? 10-nation confederation. We're growing. On January 1, 1986, Spain and Portugal came into the Union, and the agenda expanded beyond economics when the EEC officially adopted the goal of a politically unified Europe. Now, you might say, Clark, what are you doing? I know you think I'm crazy. It's okay. She thinks I'm crazy. My wife, all right? No, she actually likes this stuff, all right? But listen, the point is, this hasn't happened since the Roman Empire. And we sit on our hands. I'm telling you what, you need to wake up. You need to get ready. Amen? You need to be living for Christ. Who knows? We're not promised a tomorrow, are we? If you believe the Bible's full of this stuff. Okay? Even the last book in the Bible, one whole book called the Book of Revelation, a revealing of things in the future. Okay? Keep looking. In 1987, the Single European Act was implemented in 87. Number eight, with the fall of the Berlin Wall in 1989, Germany was unified and East Germany was integrated into the membership. Number nine, in December 92, the economic borders between the nations of the European community were removed and a common passport was issued to travelers. Now I need to ask you a question. Can you use your passport that you have over in Germany, and can you travel to other countries freely? And you can move about freely. It was not always that way. Is that correct? Correct. In December, this happened. Okay? We're removed. Study in universities within the nations was also permitted without restriction. The European Union. It's happening before our very eyes. And I'm not some wild-eyed guy. I'm just telling you what the facts are. Number 10, Austria, Finland, and Sweden joined the Union in 1990. Is the Union growing or what? Say. And like I said, it's not a bad thing. They're just being united. In 2002, how many remember this? 80 billion coins were produced for use in the 12 participating nations of the Eurozone, thus introducing the new monetary unit called the... Do you use Euros? Do you have any Euros on you? Do you have them in your... Got one right there? You don't have no Euros on you at all. It would have helped the message. Anyway, how many watch every night, whether it's CNBC or something like that, and you watch the clicker at the top and you see the yen and you see the pound over to the right? What's dead center in the middle every night at the top? It's the Euro. Isn't it crazy that God's Word, in a very unusual and even spooky way, talked about things like this happening in the end times, in the last days? The dollar is declining against the euro. It's been making up a little ground lately, but not near what it needs to. Many experts believe that within 5 years, the euro may actually replace the U.S. dollar as the standard of world currency. If I'd have said that a month and a half ago, you people, it ain't never going to happen. You crazy. I don't think anything now would surprise you. What is it? Euro! Euro! There you go. All right. All right, you throw it in the offering plate. It'll spin. Amen. It's worth about $1.30 to our dollar right now. Okay, how many is that one? That's 20 euros? We'll take it. Here we go. Now listen, we're getting done. The march toward European unification continued on May 1, 2004 when Cyprus, the Czech Republic, Estonia, Hungary, Latvia, Lithuania, Malta, Poland, Slovakia, Slovenia were added, bringing the total to how many? 25? How many we got? 50 states? We're talking 25 countries. These nations brought 75 million people into the European Union, expanding its population now to 450 million people, surpassing North America as the world's biggest economic zone. And it all happened in your lifetime. And it all happened pretty quick, didn't it? Recently. 13 in January 2007, Romania, Bulgaria. Bulgaria. Look at that. We're admitted into the EU, bringing the total number now to 27. 14. We're almost done. But this is very important. Very important that you know this. While Israel was part of the original Roman Empire, Israel is not currently part of the European Union. The European Union considers Israel ineligible for membership due to human rights violations based on its occupation of the West Bank, the Gaza Strip, the Golan Heights, and East Jerusalem. Does the Bible talk about in the last days nations will come against what country on the planet? Somebody just take a wild guess. Israel. What I'm saying is, this is just a picture of your world. What's happening now? Just one part of it. It's been proposed, however, that if Israel would sign a peace treaty with its hostile neighbors, it would be offered membership into the EU. Does the Bible in the last days talk at all about a peace treaty will be signed? Yes or no? Does it say the peace treaty will be broken after 3.5 years? Yes or no? Just remember that. And this happened how many years ago before Christ? 600 years ago. 600 years before Christ. Number 15, gradually yet steadily, the nations of Europe have come together, creating a modern republic of the ancient Roman Empire. Europe is more integrated today than at any time since the days of ancient Rome. I want you to say that with me. One more time, Raj. Europe is more integrated today than at any time since the days of ancient Rome. Okay? Now, what does all that mean? Now, we're done. That's the state of your world. That's just one little old thumb. I couldn't give much. That was rough right there. Okay? And again, I'm not calling all this evil. Hey, economically, you got to do what works, and it seems to be working better this way. Okay? And that's what's happening. That's the state of our world. Ultimately, though, the kingdom of God. There was one other kingdom that's mentioned in that prophecy. Pop it up, Raj. We're finishing this whole chapter. Here it is. We're at the end. In the days of these kings, which kings? The toes, the feet, the iron, the clay mixed together, this revived Roman Empire. In the days of these kings shall the God of heaven set up a kingdom which shall never be destroyed. The kingdom shall not be left to other people, but it shall break in pieces and consume all of these kingdoms, and it shall stand what? Forever. That's what our Bible teaches us. That Jesus Christ will come back. One day He will rule with a rod of what? Iron. He will set up a kingdom for 1,000 years on this earth. That's what the Bible teaches. Verse 45. For as much as you saw a stone that was cut out of the mountain, Jesus Christ is called the chief what? Cornerstone. Cut out without hands, that it break in pieces the iron, the brass, the clay, the silver, the gold. The great God hath made known to the king what shall come to pass hereafter. Daniel's about done. Say it with me. And the dream is certain, Mr. King, and the interpretation thereof is... You can see him doing it. I got it right from him. He says, you can take it to the bank. It's going to happen. Now, I might not have it all just right. And I read some different books over it and looked this stuff up. I ain't this smart, trust me. But you know what? You got to say what we put on the screen isn't that far outlandish or far-fetched, is it? It sure isn't. The end game. We're in a series right now called The End Game. Going to look at next week. The economy. The state of the economy. The end game. Guess what? Who wins the end game? Somebody tell me. Cheer up. Cheer up. Your redemption draws nigh. If there's ever been a day you ought to live with Jesus, it's today. You hear me? Amen. Let's praise the Lord. Good. Amen. Good stuff.